All right, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And verse 9, we have the model prayer given us. And we've been working our way through this prayer. In Matthew 6, 9, it says, "After this manner," or in this way, in this fashion, "therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And so we've been working our way through this, and we've pointed out on a number of occasions that the priority of this prayer is really the Lord. And we see that in how it begins and how it ends. When he says here, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We're praying about God's name to be holy, thy kingdom come, that his kingdom would come, and thy will be done, we're going to look at today. And then we have the request in relationship to ourselves. And then it ends with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And so prayer is about exalting God and putting God first and seeing God's will done upon the earth, and we're going to talk about that. But I believe that we need to, again, just emphasize that prayer is important, and it does make a difference. Abraham's servant Eliezer, when he went down into Mesopotamia to obtain a wife for Isaac, he prayed. And Rebekah appeared immediately. Hannah prayed being childless, and God answered that, and Samuel was born. And David prayed that the counsel of Ahithophel to Absalom would be interrupted, and Ahithophel ended up killing himself. Jehoshaphat prayed, Isaiah and Hezekiah prayed, and a great deliverance from the enemy. Mordecai and Esther fasted and prayed, and the plot of Haman was thwarted, and Nehemiah prayed, and the king's heart was softened right there in the very moment. And we find, as our text verse or our theme verse, that Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and he prayed and it rained. And the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This morning, we're going to look at the statement there in verse 10, praying that God's will would be done, or be done literally means to come to pass. And so I'm trying to get started here this morning. It's cranking like my car, but I'll get going here pretty quick. But we have a dilemma right off the bat here, particularly when we begin to study and understand God. Isaiah says, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand." And so if God's sovereign, and as he thinks it comes to pass, and as he purposes, it's going to stand and come about, then we go back to a question we explored before. But why even pray, "Thy will be done," if God's will is going to be done, if what he purposes is going to come to pass? Is he sovereign or not? Should we pray? The kind of questioning, really, as we spoke of in about 4 or 5 weeks ago, it can really lead to some heretical thinking. I've actually read commentaries and books where one man said that God is in control of everything, even to the striking of the wrong key on the keyboard. That God is even in control of wrong spelling. either in control of everything or he's not in control of everything. And as he purposes, God's either sovereign or he's not sovereign. But how he relates and how he limits himself in his sovereignty, I think it is important to understand, because that kind of thinking is going to eventually make us to conclude that God is the author of sin. And that kind of thinking really is just going to take all the energy and all the want to out of a prayer itself. And I think that if we just, you know, what happens is people get on a certain doctrine or they see a certain verse and this maybe the sovereignty of God, as we're trying to talk about here, and they get so unbalanced that the common sense just flies out the window. But if God was in control and everything that happened is because of God's will, then why would we even need to pray, "Thy will be done"? He says here, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done," which is obvious if we have to pray that, that sometimes God's will isn't done. That God allows his will not to be done. And so, not everything that happens in this world is in the direct will of God. As a result of the fall of man, sorrow is going to come to a house. Someone has died, perhaps a child, from a fatal car crash or a fatal disease, and someone goes and visits that family, and they may say, "Well, it was just the will of the Lord." That really leaves those parents feeling real happy. Or you go home to a home where a mother with children that need her and a husband that needs her as his helpmate and as his companion is dying of cancer. And someone will say, "Well, it's the Lord's will." Well, if you keep looking at the world in that fashion, it's going to suck all the vitality completely out of your life. And again, let's just have a little bit of common thinking. If it's the will of God for death to take place, why is he telling us that when he comes, he's going to come and destroy the power of death? If he was for sorrow and allowed that, and it's God's will that people go through sorrow and suffering, then why is he going to have a 1,000-year reign upon the earth where he's not going to tolerate any disease? If he was for sorrow, why is he going to wipe away every tear at the beginning of eternity? If it's God's will that man go to hell, why would he say that he's not willing that any should perish? Jesus said, looking over Jerusalem, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathered chickens under her wings, and ye would not." They would not, but God would. And so, man has a choice. And God has allowed the cup of iniquity to be full, not as an expression of his will, but the fact that he tolerates it. God is not responsible for sin. He's not responsible for consequences. It's not his will. And so, when we pray, "Thy will be done," we're praying that our lives might align with the sovereignty of God. And as we talked about before with the examples when we kind of dealt with this question, is that God wants to use us as a means to accomplish his will. And though he has determined that the rain would come back to Israel, yet he had Elijah pray 7 times that it would come back. He wants to use us as a means to accomplish his will. It's very obvious that he wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and establish Palestine again to the Jews, but he used Nehemiah as a means to accomplish that. And so God wants to take you and I and use us as a means to accomplish His will. And I think that even as Kenneth's going to share this afternoon, you know, some of the prayers that we've been praying about Jamaica, that specifically I've been praying that there might be a man down there that would be open to New Testament truth and want to and embrace it and want it. And God may want to use us as a church as a means to accomplish His will in some people's lives in Jamaica. And you'll be excited as Caleb shares this afternoon. And so it's about getting our priorities right. Amy Carmichael said, "And shall I pray to change thy will, my Father, until it be according to mine? But no, Lord, that shall never be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine." Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Russian dissident who was in the Gulag, the prison camps of Arctic Russia. And he wrote this book that became a bestseller in America. It was called A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. And Ivan one day is praying with his eyes closed, and a fellow prisoner notices him and says to him in ridicule, "Prayers won't help you get out of here any faster." And opening his eyes, Ivan answered, "I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God. Prayer is not manipulating God to get what we want, but discovering what He wants us to do, and then asking the Holy Spirit to enable us to do His will. Prayer is not a way to get what we want, but a way to become what God wants us to be. And so, thy will be done. Whatever He wants, whatever He wishes, we're saying, let it happen. May it be. May thy will be done." Now, let me get into some of the meat of this. Let me say to you that you better think about praying this prayer. Because to really pray it, it's going to be one of the most difficult prayers that you've ever prayed. Let me give you some statements and then we'll break this down. God has a will for your life. He's got a will for all of our lives. He created us for a purpose. He has a specific will for you that doesn't fit anybody else's will. Some of them correspond. You'd have all men to be saved. But He has a will for your life. It's what God desires for your life. But you also have a will for your life and a desire. And those wills, my will and God's will, your will and God's will, they often conflict. And either your will prevail or God's will prevail. And so when I pray, "Thy will be done," I'm asking God to overthrow my will. I'm asking Him to take charge. I'm asking Him to prevail in His will. And it says, "As it is in heaven, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Psalms 103 said, "Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word." And so when it says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven God's will is always done. And in heaven, God's will is instantly done. And in heaven, God's will is completely done. And so, if you mean business, it means giving up control of your life. Either you call the shots or he calls the shots. Either you're in control or he's in control. Now, a lot of that is determined in our actions and reactions to life. If God's in control, how do we react when we don't get our way? When we prayed for this job, and we worked for this job, and we spent years in college to obtain this job, and God says, that's not my will for you. Or it's very obvious that that doesn't happen and you can't understand it. Do we fuss? Do we fume? Do we rant? And do we rave? Do we say, okay, if I can't do that, I'm just going to quit. We're throwing the towel. I give up. I surrender, Lord, because you're bigger than me. Do we concentrate on what God doesn't allow us to have instead of just moving on with life? Does God have the right to disrupt your agenda for next week? I'm not saying we shouldn't plan. The Bible tells us we ought to lay up like the ant and all those principles. I'm simply saying that when I pray, thy will be done, then I'm going to have to give up control of my life. We got any control freaks here this morning? We want to be in control. We want everything laid out. We want to have it all organized. My wife is not a control freak, but she likes organization. And she married a guy who is a man of the moment. She keeps me out of trouble, but I get things done. Because sometimes you just need to jump in and get after it. And like Gary Baumgartner used to say, there's not always time to do it right, but there's always time to do it over. But I got to give up control of my life. And it's going to be a difficult prayer because it means I get out of the driver's seat. And let's not forget that God often works through our mothers and our fathers and our bosses and our teachers and our pastors. And many of us, many of God's children are unhappy because they're still in the driver's seat. And it becomes a bumpy road. And so, when I get before the Lord and I pray, Lord, thy will be done, that means that whatever you want, I want. And so it's not a matter of you young boys and all you older boys. It's not a matter of this morning saying, Lord, I surrender to preach. I'll surrender to preach. All right, I get it. No, it's a matter of if God called you, would you go? It's a matter of all these plans that you have made. If God says, that's not happening, how are we going to respond? This house, or like Brother Ron, you know, he's planning on getting married. What if God said, that ain't happening? His will for our lives. It's a hard prayer to pray because we have an agenda sometimes. And God's simply saying, you know, you need to pray, thy will be done. And I think that we'll find that if we're really serious about that, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that it calls for some real introspection. It calls for surrender. Okay. Now, secondly, this is a hard prayer to pray because we often doubt that God wants the best for us. When I pray, thy will be done, sometimes, you know, it's with the idea, okay, I'll do your will, and because you're God, I'll do your will and be miserable the rest of my life. When God made it very plain to me that he called me to preach, I made it very plain to God that I wasn't going to be miserable the rest of my life. And I wasn't going to preach. And a number of things worked in my life that were very sobering. And he was saying to me that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That he never changed his mind. And that God's will is not sporadic. God doesn't have a certain will for you today and a different will for you tomorrow. I'm not saying that we can't eliminate ourselves and do some things where God can't use us in a certain fashion. A man can do some things that would eliminate him out of being a pastor. But it doesn't mean that God's will wasn't always his will. And so I question whether it's really the best for me. Some people have this philosophy, I've heard this, if we'll just pray for the opposite of what we want, because God doesn't want to give us what we want, he'll give us that. And so, you know, Lord, give me an old beat-up Volkswagen Beetle that's, you know, it's 50 years old. That's what I want, Lord. I'll take it. Just a crumb from your table. Well, how stupid is that? But sometimes we pray that way because we think that somehow God's trying to, you know, he's playing games with us. That he doesn't want the best for us. When God told Jonah, you know, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach there. I mean, Jonah was absolutely sure that God wanted to make him miserable. And he was absolutely sure that you see, the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh being the capital, those guys were bad dudes. They were worse. Picture this in your mind. They were as worse or greater than ISIS. They're bad dudes. And Jonah said, Lord, if I go up there and preach to them, they're going to repent. You're going to forgive them. You can't have that. I don't want that. That's not my will, God. Hammer them. Don't forgive them. And God said, okay, we're going to let you explore the bottom of the ocean. And a well swallowed him. And even in repenting, he had a bitterness about him. And that wasn't God's will. I want you to look over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, or test, or try, or understand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That it describes for us what is God's will, and that it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Luke said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will it be offered him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to do good gifts unto your children, how much more so the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. And so it involves understanding that God's will is perfect, and when we pray, Thy will be done, we say, okay, God, you can tip over my apple cart, and okay, God, I understand that Your will is best for me. It's a prayer that needs to be prayed whether you like it or not. Now, thirdly, it's a hard prayer to pray because one of the greatest passages in the Bible where we see, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done, is where? Where's the location? In the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, in praying that prayer is going to result in suffering. Sometimes to pray, thy will be done, not only is it getting out of the driver's seat, not only is it beginning to trust the Lord and not question his goodness for you, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to involve suffering. The kiss of Judas, the mockery of the crowd, the spittle running down his face, the crown jammed down on his head, the whip to the back, and even coming to the place where he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The cost of praying the prayer, thy will be done. It may involve suffering. Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the joy that was set before him. Romans says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You see, somehow Christians think today that it is not ever God's will for us to suffer. But Romans says that it's not even, we're going to suffer, but that suffering is not even take your time to compare it to what's in the future. Look in 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, he tells us we have an inheritance in verse 4, incorruptible and undefiled. He says that we're kept by the power of God, both the inheritance and we ourselves. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, verse 6, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perisheth, though be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That to pray, thy will be done, sometimes it's needful. I know we read the verses, it says, to cast all I care upon him, for he cares for you, and God wants us just to take all of our cares and all of our sorrow and just cast them on him and let him take care of that. But sometimes he casts them back on us because it says here, if need be. And you see, I don't want to pray thy will be done because I don't want to suffer. I don't like suffering. I don't like going through hard things. I don't like it. But he says it's needful. And he goes on and says that he works through that the trial of our faith be much more precious than gold with perisheth. And if you go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you mature, establish, strengthen, and settled you. Do you know why most old guys, and maybe not myself, most old guys don't sweat the small stuff? Because they've been through it and it settles them. When we went through the church split, you know, I mean, I was going through some hard times, and Mrs. Adams, it was real comfort at different times when she would just say, this too will pass or whatever. And she'd been through some hard things, a house and burning and a number of things that you've been through. Well, I'm simply saying that to pray thy will be done may involve some suffering. But you have to understand this morning that in the will of God and suffering, it's more precious than gold. That God's will, even in suffering, brings to us something more precious than gold itself. And so there's joy in the will of God. Now, the last thing I want to say to you in praying thy will be done is that if I really truly pray thy will be done, then it's going to put me in opposition to, I don't know, good figure to say. Let me just say, it's going to put me in opposition to at least 90% of the world. It's going to put me in opposition to abortion, sexual immorality, murder, spiritual compromise, people doing their own thing. Sinatra said, I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. But more, much more than this, I did it my way. For what is a man and what has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Well, Sinatra is regretting those words today. Because we need to do it God's way. And to kneel. The reasoning of the world goes against the will of God. It goes against the will of saying, have thine own way, Lord, goes against the status quo. You see, it's not the status quo to do it mom and dad's way. When my children grew up, every one of them had their own idea about how to do it. But I had my own idea about how they should do it. When I grew up, I had my own idea how to do it. But my dad had his own idea about how to do it. And it was a conflict. And it went against the status quo. It went against, you know, his will and my will conflicted. Well, when we pray, thy will be done, it's going to go against the common thinking of this world. The common thinking of the world is that you guys are just, there's something wrong psychologically. There's something wrong with you for being in church this morning. There's some deep inner need that you think you can get here when you just need to pull up your bootstraps and do it your way. It goes against the status quo to do it the boss's way. It goes against the status quo to obey those in authority over you. And so when I pray thy will be done, what it's really doing is this. To pray thy will be done is God ordained rebellion against the world. It's a God ordained rebellion against the flesh. It's a God ordained rebellion against Satan. It's a God ordained rebellion against the world. And how that, you know, be not transformed to this world, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see, to pray thy will be done is going against the conforming of this world. The world wants to conform you. Shut up and get in line and do what everybody else is doing. But I'm not going to work on Sunday. Shut up and get in line and do what everybody else is doing. Don't you know that this job that we've offered you to be an emergency room nurse, that's not given to everybody? That a first-year nursing student, you know, would never get offered this, and they've offered this to you, and now you say you won't take it because you have to work on Sunday? That is not common sense to the world. And so to pray thy will be done is going to put you at war. Because there's a prince in the power of the world that's working in this world. And he's wanting his will done. And his will is this. Satan's will is to take all the glory from God that he can. And when you say, thy will be done, you're wanting your life to bring honor and glory to God through being in his will. And let me guarantee you this. That's a declaration of war. It's going to be a war. You're not going to fight it alone. But to pray thy will be done is a God-ordained declaration of war against the world. It's a prayer that will move employees to quit working on Sunday like the status quo. It's a prayer that will make a child of God separate himself from the activity that's normal in the world. You cannot pray thy will be done and just go about living like the world does. It's a prayer that causes us to look at the world and see where it's going and to say, I'm not going to accept this anymore. I'm not going to take this lying down. You see, Christianity today has come to be Christianity today has become the great silent majority or silent minority. And we need to take on some backbone of John the Baptist, who said to Herod, you can't take this woman as your wife. It's sin. To pray thy will be done is to put ourselves on the will of God and to oppose this world. We have to oppose the world. Do you not feel the pressure to keep your mouth shut? You know, okay, fine. You want that religious stuff. Go do and be the religious person you want to be. Go be the nut you're going to be. But keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut. Well, we can't do that and pray thy will be done. It's hard because, one, I give up control. Two, I have to really trust God and not doubt that He wants the best for me. It's going to involve pain and suffering. It's hard because it goes against the world in many areas. Yet Jesus told us to pray that prayer. And you know, over the years, I've found that the happiest people that I've been able to minister to are those who just give up and let God have control. Thy will be done. There's a little illustration how the natives of Africa would catch monkeys. What they would do is they would get a gourd and they would put some desirable fruit or desirable food in that gourd. And the monkey would discover that. And the monkey would put his hand down inside there. There was a gourd that was tied to the tree. He put his hand down inside there and he'd grab the fruit. But when he tried to pull the fruit out, the neck of the gourd was so small that his fist couldn't get out. He could get his hand in there when he would just go get it. But when he got it and he had it in his fist, he couldn't get out. And he'd pull and he'd pull and he'd yank on it, he'd yank on it, he'd yank on it. And they'd come, check their traps. There he'd be. They'd knock him in the head. I'd do whatever they do with monkeys. Hopefully he'd never have to eat one. But unless you want to be a missionary in Africa, then you just get prepared. But he'd give up. He was killed because he wouldn't turn it loose and pull his hand out. And the point is, you know, I want that thing. I want it. And I put it in my little tight fist. And I hold it there, and I say, God, you can have this, and you can have this and you can have this part of my life, but I'm not going to give this up. And you destroy your life over that one little area that you won't surrender. Thy will be done. Well, it's not worth it. And so I'm simply saying that when you see this model prayer, we can quote it, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and we just run through it. But there's some depth to this prayer. And there's some soberness to this prayer. And there's some seriousness to this prayer. And you better know that there could be a cost to this prayer. There could be some suffering to pray that prayer. But not to pray this prayer is to lose out on life itself. Let me just say to you out of the bottom of my heart, life is too short to live 1 hour out of the will of God. So someplace in your life you need to get along with God. Maybe every day. And say, Lord, I want to be in your will today. My life is surrendered to you. Whatever you want. And you don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid that God might send you all the way to cold, cold Alaska to pastor. Because in the will of God, it's the happiest place that we can ever be. It's good, acceptable, and perfect. All right? All right. You're dismissed.